The Crown Mayor's impending war on unauthorized hawking incurs wrath of pavement traders who are vowing to resist an eviction order that comes into force in 5 days.
What else are we going to do? Because this is where we get our daily bread, and this is the only space that we have that we get our daily incomes. If they ask us to leave this place, we don't have anywhere to go.
The mayor is standing firm, ready to forcibly remove the thousands of traders who have left the central business district congested.
This promise I'm making to you, I'll make sure I stand by it. And by Tuesday, when you have not moved, we'll move you.
Also tonight, why the internal jostling to succeed President John Mahama as NDC flag bearer for the 2028 elections has left the party's general secretary concerned. Fifi Kwete issues a stern warning to party stalwarts already orchestrating moves to succeed the president.
So all this orchestration and jostling, some of the people who may be thinking about it think twice. The spirit of this party doesn't like shenanigans, doesn't like orchestration, doesn't like manipulation. So relax.
So is Fifi Kwete himself nursing a presidential ambition?
What matters is whether the people in the NDC would maybe find Fifi Kwete or find another person as worthy to become a leader. When the moment comes, we leave the choice to the people.
We have analysis for you also. Tonight, Energy Ministry set to launch mass disconnection of ministries, departments and agencies owing billions in debt to ECG.
All MMDs are supposed to pay for their electricity bills. They have to budget for it. We've identified what we call critical institutions. They include the health sector, the education sector, the security agencies, and the presidency.
We're also learning tonight of internal sabotage within the energy sector. We'll hear from the minister.
In business, commercial banks urge customers to remain calm, insisting they remain committed to facilitating legitimate withdrawals.
And in sports, we hear from women's football administrators who are calling on the Vice President, Professor Nana Jeno Pokuajiman, to champion the development of the game with a role in government.
You want to stay with us here on Newsnight? Join me with your thoughts, 055-1111-997. Details after this. You're still live here on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. Tonight, the Accra Mayor's impending war on unauthorized hawking has incurred the wrath of pavement traders who are vowing to resist an eviction order that comes into force in 5 days. The traders argue that repeated promises by the Accra Metropolitan Assembly to relocate them to designated markets have not materialized. We'll hear from them pretty shortly, and my colleague has spent some time with them at the Accra Central Business District and will join me pretty shortly. But first, listen to the Accra Mayor, Maxwell Oti, addressing a news conference today.
Today, I'm making the promise out there to each and every one of us to know that the streets are not for selling. The streets are a place where cars and it's not a place that we have to engage petty tradings on the pavements. On the now they have taken almost half of the streets. But if I wait till something happens, they will come attack the mayor of the city. So as the mayor of the city, I cannot watch this to happen. So on Tuesday, we are starting from Okanshi, we'll move straight to Circle and Kaneshi. So please, we are not after anybody. We are not coming because we have the power to move you from the street. No, we want to keep the city clean. One thing I want to say is that when you want to clear the streets, sometimes it may seem that you don't have feeling for the people on the streets. But that is not what we are saying. What we are saying is that we have engaged the market women, we have engaged the GPRTU, we have engaged the police. So we beg you, on Tuesday, we are coming to clear the streets. So please move before we get there. And this promise I'm making to you, I'll make sure I stand by it. And by Tuesday, when you have not moved, we'll move you.
Well, Kenneth joins me in the studio. He spent some time today at the Accra Central Business District. The mayor paints a gloomy picture as far as the congestion of the Central Business District and the entire, areas under his jurisdiction is concerned. Paints a very gloomy picture of that. What did you observe yourself? How bad is it?
Well, the mayor did not exaggerate in his description that almost half of the road has been taken over by pavement traders. And that is indeed the case. Accra is choked. It's not choked with only humans, but with people's goods and wares as well. When I went around the central business district of Accra, you could see that the road is almost equally divided into two. Half of them has been taken over by vehicles and humans. The other half is being taken over by pavement traders. They're selling from perishable goods to non-perishable goods. And it's very difficult for human navigation through that place. And if you do not take care, you're going to step on an item that is being sold there. And ironically, just around the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, that place is also very choked. You see people selling just across the street, causing human traffic and vehicular traffic as well. So it is a very dire situation right from where the mayor made the declaration. That's the AMA Hall, all the way around the surrounding neighborhood. So it has a lot of people trading in unauthorized areas when I went there.
Do they accept they must move?
They do not. They do not, because they're making cases that they've been promised that they will not be moved. And also they're saying that they have not been provided alternative places to be moved to if they move, although the mayor did indicate that that has been done. They say that if they want to move them, they have to tell them exactly where they're taking them. And they say they pay taxes every day, so they see no reason why they'll be told to vacate places that has been recognized and they pay taxes on every day.
What else are we going to do? Because this is where we get our daily bread. And this is the only space that we have that we get our daily incomes. If they ask us to leave this place, we don't have anywhere to go. That might bring, like, make us do what is not right that we're supposed to do. So what my own suggestion is that they should have allowed us to do our petty trading or our business by the roadside like that. Okay, we'll look into it.
AMA for some help, brother. So I'm so happy, brother, that someone can look at it. Because we campaign say, Abaye kura de bi meda. Se se kura ni biya basa Abaye ne ni wo bi. Gana hajume ni ha. Eti ye yina ye ye kwa usku anka ye de yepeni ye wye ya yeti mu. Eti se ye ye miye fosu mbabe pamo ye brada diya. Na ye nse mnu na omu pedi.
Oh, brada de meba ha. So my mommy place them in Kodia. Now my sister no man ako ni ako ye market too. So mommy place there na ye ni baby ako sister ye kofi sa. Eh ya ti ase mu o meti me to ye ba mama ye place be ye comfortable no an ehia.
Ye tena nye ye batch kofi. Be me bi antu ye school fees ma ye. Wo no akra ho ma ho hwe. Ye ni an ehwefie. Oni de enye brother so o meti because ye tena han ye tu allowances. Last year tu allowances 1.5.
Right, those were some of the traders who have been sharing with me what they think, and then they are vowing to resist any attempt to evict them on the 20th of May, which is in 5 days' time. They say that they have nowhere to go, and as I mentioned earlier, they've indicated that they've been paying taxes all the time. They say that that is a place that is their place of survival. That's where they get their daily bread. So if they are told to move away from the place, it's got to be nearly impossible. So I mean, they will face off with the mayor when the time comes on Tuesday.
Kenneth, thank you very much. I want to bring in the spokesperson for the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, Gilbert Ankra. And as you know, each time the Assembly decides to decongest the city, it's a big deal because of the sheer numbers when it comes to traders who operate on the pavements and sometimes on the streets. He joins us on the line right now. Gilbert, we just listened to the traders. The question they ask you is, what is your alternative? Have you provided an alternative place for them to sell now that you plan to remove them on Tuesday?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Let me state that the mayor embarked on his engagement of stakeholder engagement on Tuesday. And if you listen to the market leaders, the transport operators and all that, it's quite clear that these persons operating within the streets and on pavement, they have shares within the various markets. And for that matter, a lot of them use these shares for warehouse purposes and all that. And trading on the streets is a safety issue. And for that matter, we as an assembly cannot sit down to allow any eventuality to happen.
That is not in doubt that it's a safety issue. But they ask a fundamental question. You know it's a safety issue, but the traders say they still pay taxes to you, and you have watched on for this to happen and fester. So if you plan to remove them, then you have to account for the taxes they paid to you and provide them an alternative.
Let me state that the traders who operate within these various areas do not pay taxes to the assembly. What they do pay are market tolls, and they don't constitute the taxes.
Who collects the market tolls?
Areas.
Gilbert, can you hear me, Gilbert? Gilbert, if you can hear me, who collects the market tolls?
Can you please come again?
Who collects the market tolls?
Yes, the assembly collects the market tolls.
So you collect the market tolls. And what do you use the market tolls for?
Yes, the market tolls are used for developmental purposes. They are also used to ensure that issues of sanitation are dealt with within the entire city.
These traders
operating within these various areas generate a lot of waste. And some of these things are used to deal with the waste. But let me add that for the mere fact that they are paying these tolls does not legitimize their stay, especially selling on the street.
But how can you say that they selling on the street is a health risk, a safety problem, and yet you collect tolls from them? That is legitimizing their illegality.
No, it is not legitimizing their activities. Where they are trading is not authorized. A lot of these traders came in to do their trading because of the Christmas festivities. And they are aware that immediately after the Christmas festivities are over, they are expected to move. They are even calling. And just as I said, the market leaders themselves are calling for this very deep congestion exercise.
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert, you just said they know it is unauthorized, and the only agency that authorizes that is the assembly. So it is not authorized, and yet you collect tolls from them.
The tolls being collected from them is for embarking on their various economic activities within the city, and it is enshrined in the assembly's bylaws. That does not legitimize their stay or to be selling on the street. Let us be clear on that.
Stay with me. I want to bring in Alexander Kwesi Akwa. He's the deputy ranking member on the Local Government and Rural Development Committee. Alexander, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. What do you make of this action the AMA is just announcing, considering that the AMA is just admitting that they indeed collect tolls from these same traders who they say they are operating illegally?
Well, Evans, thank you. Good evening, and thank you for having me. I think that this is a confused situation, because here we are, the market women are threatening to be recalcitrant because they know they have been paying tolls to the assembly. Now, if the spokesperson is telling us that the tolls that are paid do not go to the assembly, then who collects the tolls? Decongestion is a subject that every mayor in Accra faces. But you have to do it with a human face. Thank God, when I heard the mayor talking, he did not threaten to bring whips like it happened in Kumasi. He may want to do this with a human face, but whatever it is, the alternate premises for this market women to sell is important. We cannot just throw them out of business. you know, like one woman said, abaya is a thing of the past. We haven't heard about abaya for a very long time because mayors after mayors have had a way of organizing this new congestion without necessarily throwing them out of their business. But I only thought that this was going to be the right opportunity for the mayor to start implementing the 24-hour economy. I mean, night street markets happen in a lot of places, a lot of developed countries. And so if you think that Accra is congested and you want to embark on decongestion, well, I would have thought that at least you create some enabling environment. Let's put some structures together to have the women to come in the night and do street selling or something. You know, those who really want to patronize their product will now take advantage of lack of the traffic and the night and patronize. But to say you want to chase them out of it, the mayor has a lot of consequences to face.
Thank you very much. Alexander Akwesi Akwa is a deputy ranking member on the Local Government and Rural Development Committee. Gilbert Niankra speaks for the Accra Metropolitan Assembly. They insist Tuesday they will decongest the Central Business District, the areas under the AMA's jurisdiction. I want to hear from you. This is a big deal for the residents of the Greater Accra region and your thoughts on the approach by the AMA. 055-111-1997. Now, President John Mahama has 1,333 days before his last and final term expires on January 7, 2029. But already, John News is learning of active jostling within the governing NDC to succeed him. The party will, for the first time since 2012, have a completely new face on the ballot for the 2028 elections. Several party stalwarts have thrown their hats into the ring to become the NDC flag bearer for election 2028. This has left the general secretary of the party, Fifi Kwete, who tonight described the internal jostling as orchestrations, concerned. He warns that party delegates will punish anyone already making active move to succeed John Mahama instead of focusing on helping the government succeed. Listen.
We appreciate that even His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, if he had stood as an independent candidate, he would not have been able to win. And you know the history of independent candidates in our country. Alan Shumate thought he was capable of doing a lot until he saw that going independent candidate, he would be struggling for 1% and 0.25% because you need a vehicle. So even he, as our leader, our presidential candidate, and now the president, appreciate that it is the vehicle, the NDC, that was the means for which that success has come. So what is important to ensure that this vehicle does well, and the way this vehicle does well, is for him to do well. It's for the people who are working in government to appreciate that it is a collective job that needs to be done. It's for the party to ensure that we are true to the things we promise to the people of Ghana. And as long as this vehicle is strong, when the moment comes for us to be able to put a new driver on the vehicle, we will be able to sell that new driver on the back of the collective success that this vehicle has achieved. And that is what matters more. So that's why there's actually the need for a complete dedication and focus on ensuring that NDC does well. NDC lives up to the expectation of the people of Ghana.
And has internal jostling started already?
Oh, but it's normal. It's a human thing. Almost every politician has an aspiration.
Do you have an aspiration?
let me just say it this way. I believe when the moment comes and the people of the NDC feel that A or B or C is the one to go, that person will be given an opportunity. So for now, it should be a focus on ensuring that the party and the government succeed. And at the end of the day, I've always had total faith in our delegates.
When
that moment comes, our delegates are able to make the choice they make. And I can tell you also another thing about this party. Mm. It's a party whose spirit doesn't like shenanigan. It's a party whose spirit doesn't like too much orchestration. If you watch the people who have emerged and led this party, they've always been people who emerge on the back of who they are. Jerry Rawlings, natural leader. Prof. Mills, absolutely not somebody, like he said, I wasn't desperate to become a president. John Mahama in 2000. People don't know. In 2000, we were literally begging him. He didn't want to even take the position of running mate. So those are individual. So all this orchestration and jostling, some of the people who may be thinking about it, think twice. The spirit of this party doesn't like shenanigan, doesn't like orchestration, doesn't like manipulation. So relax. When the moment comes and the people decide that this is you, you will emerge. If it's not you, you will not emerge.
But I need to ask you more directly. You were talking about the future of the party. Mm-hmm. Is Fifikwete interested in taking
that? We keep going back to that.
Because yeah.
What matters is not whether Fifikwete has an aspiration or not. What matters is whether the people in the NDC would maybe find Fifikwete or find another person as worthy to become a leader. When a moment can, we leave the choice to the people.
But if the people come to you, like you said, JM did, you may want to say, I'm not interested. But you have to be interested if they come to you.
I would just say that when the moment comes, always say, we'll let the people of the NDC make that choice at the right time.
It's instructive that you haven't said no.
Yeah, because there's no need to say no.
So it is
normal on the part of any politician to want to go to the next level. But what matters is not what you want. It is what the people want. And that must always be number one.
Musa Dankwa heads the Global Info Analytics. Dr. Richard Amakoba is a political scientist. They both join me on the line right now. Musa Dankwa, you run a poll on the same subject. Who are the front runners within the NDC?
Right. Thank you very much for having me, everybody. The front runners, I'll call them the top five, is Professor Jenano Fukuagiman leading the pack with 25%. Haruna Idrisu on 20.7%. Atu Forsen on 12.9%. Kujetu Ablakwa Samuel, 9.9%. Johnson Itia, 9.6%. And if you want to go back, you can bring the National Admiral Rollins on 6.3%.
You just heard the general secretary of the NDC. I asked him directly if he's interested. He won't say no. He won't say yes. He says he leaves it open. What do you read into that?
I mean, as a politician, you can never close the door on yourself. And it gives me a hint that next time I'm going to the public, I should in fact throw his name in the mix to see what the public think about it. I would be shocked if he ruled himself out. A young politician, he has aspiration, and every politician aspires to be a president, including Fifikwete.
Let me bring in Dr. Richard Makoba. Dr. Makoba, the general secretary has a concern. He calls it orchestrations within the party, and he warns them that the delegates will punish them. He draws on the party's history. He says those who emerged as flag bearers are those who themselves did not want it. It was almost foisted on them. Do you share his views there? Do you have any sympathies for him? You understand where he's coming from?
Yes, indeed. Because it's too early for anybody, especially people in NBC, to be clamoring to become president when he just won the election 5 months ago. So what is going on here? Is this just an electioneering machinery to win and win and win and do what? Because you are going to win if your present leader does very well. If President Mahama does very well, it's a victory hands down. So why are you pushing so quickly to get him out or take the shine out of him? Makes no sense.
I mean, but that's what politicians do. I mean, there is an opportunity in the next less than 3 years for the party to put somebody up to represent them and bear their flag for 2028. You should expect that shortly after the swearing-in, the jostling will start. And he confirms that it has started.
Well, I know that. But this is why we have party leaders. And they are the ones who are supposed to caution those who want to be leaders. If you leave them alone, they will start on day one. You know. But you know that is not right. The party is going to be successful based on what the present president does. And if you are going to do political talk, positioning, shenanigans in all of this, you know, then the division will get high. Where is the party now? It is not a good thing. They need to plan this properly. They have quite a bit of time not to start right away. As soon as you won, you started. No. Because we know what happened to the last party. They didn't do well. People are expecting you to come and fix things, and you two, instead of fixing it, you are running for president.
And that is his central point in that interview, that everybody who is interested, and may include himself, focus on helping the party succeed in government, because yes, even if you win the Nod, you would run on the legacy of both John Mahama and the party. And Musa Dankwa, he draws on the history of the party and warns anybody, he says, the orchestrations and shenanigans, those who are orchestrating that. And he says that the party's history suggests that the delegates will punish anyone who is now very actively trying to jostle to succeed John Dramani Mahama. Is he right in drawing the party's history the way he did?
Well, I think so. If you look at the history of NDC, people who have led it have emerged naturally. From Atapos, as you mentioned, to John Mahama. And indeed, the person to lead NDC in 2026 would emerge naturally.
You mentioned two examples there, but isn't the party entering a new era completely? I mean, this is the first time we are having a president who lost his first term return after another party has served an eight-year term. The dynamics may be different.
Look, Eva, what we've seen data, right, even though it is yesterday, we tend to see what the party or where the party may be heading. And that is in response to the fact that this country is a younger population. Over 70% of people who vote in this country are still 35. And these people are very resolute in what they look like. If you look at the polling, you could see that the younger generation, you see, are more dominant than the old day. And I think that's where I think
Musa Dankwa, thank you very much. He is the head of the Global Info Analytics. And earlier, I also had Dr. Richard Amakoba, a political scientist. You can find that full interview with Fifi Kwete we aired on Monday. It is on the social media platforms, Joy News and Joy FM. Just find it, set for it, PM Express, and watch the full thing and hear him articulate his concerns about the internal jostling and orchestrations currently underway, moves to succeed John Dramani Mahama, and his warning to those doing so. Still ahead here on Newsnight, Energy Ministry set to launch mass disconnection of ministries, departments and agencies owing billions in debts to ECG.
All MMDAs are supposed to pay for their electricity bills. They have to budget for it. We've identified what we call critical institutions. They include the health sector, the education sector, the security agencies, and the presidency.
And internal sabotage within the power sector. The minister reveals it all later here on Newsnight. Plus, we'll tell you why cooking with charcoal and other unclean fuels can be as harmful as smoking multiple packs of cigarettes daily due to toxic pollutants released.
If you are cooking with traditional methods, that's the woods, every day it's like you are smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. Now, just combine it with all the hours and days you have been spending in the kitchen.
More from Joyce's Climate Talks later after business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans, and interesting interview. And it appears that this morning some banks were kind of hit with some panic withdrawals. But it appears that the Bank of Ghana statement also was timely to avert any further challenges.
And I know you have more on that.
Yes, of course. And the commercial banks urge customers to remain calm, insisting they remain committed to facilitating legitimate withdrawals following some scare in the morning. And Car Partnership commits to supplying power to the national grid, assuring the toxic government over the $400 million debt is progressing steadily. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, your number one stop shop for all your office essentials. Sintex Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, commercial banks are urging all foreign currency depositors to remain calm, insisting they remain committed to facilitating legitimate withdrawals. Now, this was captured in a statement issued by the Ghana Association of Banks earlier today. There is more in this report.
The Ghana Association of Banks in the statement maintained that they remain committed to operating within the regulatory framework provided by the Bank of Ghana. This, they believe, will help in meeting legitimate foreign currency needs of individuals and businesses in the country. The assurance from the Ghana Association of Banks is coming after the Bank of Ghana, in a statement, dissociated itself from comments by its board member Isaac Adongo that banks will be moving to halt over-the-counter foreign currency withdrawals. The association noted, for them, it is very important that the Bank of Ghana, in its statement, noted it is not contemplating on any review of the existing foreign exchange regulations. It again added that commercial banks remain fully committed to upholding the rights of customers with respect to legitimate foreign currency needs of individuals and businesses.
And that is a Business Dex report. Still on that issue, now, some banks were hit with some panic withdrawals earlier this morning. Now, this was due to a report that the central bank could have moved to limit over-the-counter foreign currency withdrawals. But the Ghana Association of Banks maintained that that assurance from the Bank of Ghana indeed went a long way to normalize things. Let's hear from John Iwua, his chief executive of the Ghana Association of Banks.
I think the statement has been issued at the very right time. It came, it was prompt, and it's basically an effort by the central bank to ensure that these media discussions on foreign currency does not degenerate into areas where people begin taking decisions based on their perception of what potentially Bank of Ghana will be coming out with.
And subsequently, you've also come out to issue a statement urging calm among members.
Yes, we have, because in the morning we observed some unusual movement, which we attribute to some actions being taken by customers in response to the media interview that was granted by the Honorable MP and the member, a board member of Bank of Ghana. So we had to, on the back of Bank of Ghana's press release, we had to also issue a statement to reassure customers that they have nothing to fear. If you have a legitimate transaction that you need foreign currency to execute, the bank stands ready to support you.
John Wise, chief executive of the Ghana Association of Banks, speaking to Pius Kojubaka on Business Live on the Joy News channel earlier today. Now, the Bank of Ghana has given the firm assurance that it remains committed to rolling out required measures that would firmly stabilize the Ghana city. It argues that this might be one of the surest ways to aid compliance of the foreign exchange rules on the market. Let's hear from the first deputy governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Mumuni Zakari, who's been speaking on PM Express Business Edition, which airs tonight at 9 p.m.
But the key thing, fundamental, is to ensure we have stability. And when you have stability, all of these other peripheral, challenges you have will be minimized. Mm-hmm. You perhaps will not be able to eliminate them completely, but they will definitely be minimized. And that is only when you are able to, maintain durable stability. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You think that for you, the most important thing is stabilize the local currency, ensure confidence in the local currency, all the other things will fall in place?
Precisely the point I am making.
And that's the first deputy governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Mumuni Zakari, speaking on PM Express Business Edition, which airs tonight at 9 p.m. Now, director of ESA, Professor Peter Korte, says recent calls for price reductions are justified following the city's appreciation against the US dollar. Speaking to Joy Business after the launch of the Youth Indigenous Enterprises in the informal sector, he said businesses should begin to reflect on a stronger city in their pricing.
Well, it's justified to some extent in the sense that we know that in Ghana prices are sticky downwards. Anytime exchange rates depreciate quickly, traders increase. But as soon as it appreciates, then there's some sluggishness, slowness in reducing. But you also appreciate the fact that some have imported using the old exchange rate to import. So they need to sell, you know, others are taking advantage, they are importing at a lower rate. So there could be some competition, and we should see some gradual reduction in the prices of goods and services. Let's also not forget that some take advantage. There are people who take cash in even when the exchange rate has not depreciated significantly.
That is economist Professor Peter Kote. Now, Power Supply Car Partnership says negotiations with government over a $400 million debt have progressed significantly. Energy Minister John Jinapo earlier today disclosed to Parliament's Energy Committee that the power barge could be shut down by May 18 due to outstanding debt. But speaking to Joy Business Corporate Communications Manager Sandra Amakwe said Car Partnership remains committed to supplying power to the national grid.
I must say that negotiations with the government over the past week regarding the accrued debt have progressed significantly. We are optimistic about a positive outcome. I must add that Car Partnership as a company, we are committed to supplying reliable power to the national grid.
And that's the Corporate Communications Manager at Car Partnership, Sandra Makwe. Now, President of the Ghana Chamber of Young Entrepreneurs, Shelif Gari, has emphasized the inclusiveness of business models holds the key to unlocking Ghana's economic potential, urging stakeholders to adopt more sustainable and equitable approaches in the company's agribusiness sector. Now, he made these remarks at the Impact Drivers Seminar organized by the Ghana Chamber of Young Entrepreneurs.
How can agribiz evolve from the normal, traditional, ordinary way of operating agribusiness to an inclusive business where in the value chain of the operation, the destitute or those far rich are able to be or tag along? Businesses are, lives are attached, not just like doing an ordinary corporate social responsibility, but evolving the corporate social responsibility to become inclusive businesses where everybody in the sector or the value chain plays a key role and their lives are better. The target is we want to get the inclusive business model out there and start looking at how Ghanaian indigenous businesses can adopt the model to be able to reach out to men. Ghana is one of the countries and our economy need inclusive business more, so that we just don't do business for profit, but we do business for impact. And that's why we say your impact will drive your returns.
President of the Ghana Chamber of Young Entrepreneurs, Shelif Gari, and that's all for business. But if you're a shareholder in MTN today, it was up by 7 pesos to close at 3 Ghana cedis 53 pesos. Some good news there for shareholders of MTN Ghana. And even on PM Express Business Edition tonight, we're engaging the first deputy governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Zakari Mumuni, on the city's performance. And the critical question here is whether what is happening right now is sustainable or not.
I'm looking forward to that big interview. It gives us clarity on a host of issues, but also the monetary policy going forward to anchor the city, stabilize it. Now, also the question is, the BOG quietly admits that they expect at some point the city will find its stable level. And they at that point, they can then expect some stability. I'm always curious to know, so when they do the estimation and forecast, what is that level?
You want to get that answer at 9 p.m. on PM Express Business Edition.
Yeah, you want to join George at 9 p.m. You also want to join him on many social media platforms. You can watch on your phone. It's as simple as that. If you don't have a television, of course, connected to any of our boxes, do so on Facebook. It's also on YouTube, on Twitter as well. The Ghana Pediatric Society is warning tonight that cooking with unclean fuels like charcoal and firewood can be deadly, equivalent to smoking multiple packs of cigarettes daily. Exposure to household air pollutants put everyone, including unborn babies, at risk. And that's according to Dr. Richard Bright Daniel, a member of the Pediatric Society. He made the comments at the maiden edition of the Joy News Climate Talks in Jamestown, here in Accra.
If you are still thinking, how does this clean cooking affect you? Now, this is the big one. WHO is estimating that if you are cooking with traditional methods, that's the woods, every day, it's like you are smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. Now, you just combine it with all the hours and days you have been spending in the kitchen, and then that should bring the message home. Apart from the cataracts, the lung cancers, and then even some has been linked it to breast cancers. So the effects are not just these few things that we've mentioned, but they are there. And even in pregnancy, unclean cooking can affect you. You could have hypertension in pregnancy and even anemia in pregnancy, and on top, you could lose your baby. What can we do? I think that as health workers, we all need to leverage on the knowledge we know about the effect of clean cooking and health, the benefits. And we have to drum this idea home. Mm. We need to talk about it in our old outpatient departments. We need to make videos about them, talk to people about it in languages that they can understand. We need to remember that prescription just doesn't end with medication, but prescribing clean air is one of the best medicines that can be given to you.
Well, in spite of the risk we just heard about, we also learned from the Deputy Director of Arocha Ghana, Darryl Bosu, that nearly 70% of households rely on charcoal for cooking. He warned that if this trend continues, Ghana could lose a significant portion of its tree cover in charcoal-producing communities within the next two decades.
If you look at the fact that close to about 70% of Ghana's households depend on either charcoal or firewood for energy in terms of cooking, then we are not only looking at an energy challenge, we're also looking at an issue of environment and also an issue of health. And even there is also the other aspect where charcoal actually comes from. Also, those areas that are even least endowed now supplying the urban centers with a lot of charcoal. And you see the tracks. So if you look at the numbers of charcoal that is being taken out of the environment or wood, that's about 14.9 million tons of wood being taken out of the environment. The estimation already indicates that at the rate at which we are removing these things, if we don't take it like two decades, we are likely to lose a lot of the forests in the areas where charcoal production is coming from. And if you look at the density of charcoal production now across the country, you have areas like the Kintampo areas, the Atebubu, mostly the semi-arid regions. So the dry regions where we need to build more adaptation capacity, the dry regions where we need to build mitigation opportunities so that we can release or reduce emissions. Yeah. These are the areas where our charcoal is coming from. So it tells you that there's more damage and more risks.
He's calling for a transition to cleaner cooking alternatives such as gas stoves to reduce health risk and protect Ghana's remaining tree cover.
We need to look at new strategies and technologies and innovation in trying to bring in those clean fuels. And clean fuels can start with using some things like the waste-to-energy fuels, like the briquettes that we've been using, that can really come to compete and replace the firewood and the charcoal. We can also bring in innovation in terms of the stoves that we are using. Right now, as you know, most communities, most households, and even where we are, what you see commonly around us is people using the firewood burners and smokers. Mm. We need to bring in those cook stoves that can really transform cooking by ensuring that people are able to use much more cleaner fuels. So we can use, for those who can afford within the urban centers, use electricity to cook.
Well, Climate Talks is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with the German Embassy, catch the full episode on all our social media handles. And joining me right now with sports is Mbao.
Yes, Evans. Well, let's talk a bit about women's football. There's a big MTN FA Cup semi-final game that's happening, the women's FA Cup game final that's happening this weekend. And we'll get to talk about that very shortly. But women's football administrators are calling on the Vice President, Professor Jane Nana Pokuajeman, to use her influential position in government to champion and advance the growth of women's football in the country. Leading the call is the Chief Executive Officer of Azaka's Ladies, Evelyn Siasari, who believes the Vice President's support could be a game changer in creating more opportunities for female athletes and elevating the women's game to new heights.
The going down of women's football is one reason failed. All the field or all the lands that were earmarked for that purpose are now being put to a different use. They are building houses. There are no enough places where if you are even bored within your house, you can go there and play football. So that is the reason why we are not developing. If we can start, the president, the government, and I'm very happy that now, for the first time, we have a vice president who is a woman. I believe that she will take this women football thing as a project.
That's Evelyn Siasari, the Chief Executive Officer of Azaka's Ladies there. And we're just talking about the Women's Premier League Champions Championship final that will be taking place come Sunday at the West of Ghana Stadium. And it's going to be between, Ampem Dakwa Ladies and the Ghana Police Ladies. And the winner of this game will determine the winner of the Women's Premier League. So we're looking forward to that come Sunday. But even just before I go, though, Tottenham Hotspur captain Son Heung-min has filed a criminal complaint with the South Korean police for being the victim of an alleged blackmail plot after it was reported that a woman threatened him with a false pregnancy claim. Now, according
to... Say that again?
Yes, a woman threatened him with a false pregnancy claim.
He did not do the thing.
And he's taking it to the police station, and the police have started an investigation into it. And we understand that the woman is alleged to have approached Son last year claiming she was carrying his child. She reportedly demanded money to stay silent. The man then allegedly showed up with him in March trying to get money. But Son reported the matter to the police and is being investigated because he believes the child is not for him.
Did he touch the thing at all?
How on
there? That's all you need to say.
The police is investigating, so we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
very interesting story indeed. Well, thank you very much. A few of your messages on our WhatsApp console now. This one from Samin Kumasi says, a notion that levies are being collected by the AMA and KMA from the market women who are selling in the principal streets does not guarantee them a license to sell in those places. They really impede the movement of both human and vehicles. And this one from Sokbo and Anglo says, the Ghana is coming back under John Dramani Mahama. The MPP should point out the law breached by Sami Jenfi, the MPP. He says, now a new press party. And Nanonis Painters Road says, in all honesty, Accra needs decongestion. The hawkers do not have the right to be on the roads, believe it or not. The Agbogbloshie lot, they are all back, he says. And why don't we own car power? And these other IPPs, basic financial analysis will advise we own these plans. A narrative every government isn't efficient and effective must end. And that's Shem Mixon, yeah, boy, there. Let's stay with the subject of energy a while longer, because the minister has vowed to crack down on government agencies that owe the Electricity Company of Ghana billions of cedis. Now, John Junapo has been briefing members of Parliament, Mines and Energy Committee today. He says the cabinet has now approved the aggressive move to retrieve debts with the exemptions to extremely critical institutions.
Cabinet has also adopted a position and will brief you, Chairman. All MMDAs are supposed to pay for their electricity bills. They have to budget for it. We've identified what we call critical institutions. They include the health sector, the education sector, the security agencies, and the presidency. Even with that, so if you take the health sector, it's the theaters, the laboratories, the wards that will be exempted. If you take the education institutions, dormitories are not part. Restaurants are not part. Only lecture theaters. And so we've classified that. And cabinet is granting the approval and will publish that. Even what we term as critical institutions, the Minister of Finance will have to budget for it and pay. Yesterday, I was listening to a news item where Ghana Water made a complaint that because of some erratic power situation, they are unable to supply adequately. I empathize with them. And I think that what we've inherited, we should improve it.
And that there is John Junapol, the energy minister. Now, scientists at Ghana's KNUST are teaming up with Oregon State University to study the effects of illegal mining on human health using zebrafish. Now, the study follows disturbing patterns of birth defects and organ failure in mining communities. With help from you as researchers, the goal is to develop protocols to safeguard the environment. Nana Yaljima has more from the pharmacy department's fish lab.
The organs of these fishes are similar to humans, hence factors that damage their organs have similar impact on the human body. Pharmacologist Professor George Anison explains the negative impact of water samples from illegal mining sites on fishes when introduced could be likened to impact on humans.
He hopes to get water from these areas, expose these fishes to it right from the egg stage, fertilized egg stage, and then you'll be looking at what is happening to them. Are the lungs forming well? Are the kidneys forming well? Liver forming well? The eyes? Are they able to see well?
Already, scientists in Ghana are seeing babies being born with deformities and poorly formed organs. It is believed the use of cyanide solution, mercury, among other chemicals in illegal mining continues to cause deaths in mining communities. Pathologist Professor Paul Poku-Osei Sampene explains.
At the autopsy in all the five regions, you realize that the major cause of death are actually end-stage renal disease, what's some few hepatorenal syndromes, what it means that the renal or the kidneys affected, and then or probably the liver is affected, affecting the kidneys as well. And we have some few 69 cases of what we call colorectal cancer and liver metastasis, and then we have liver cancers and all those things. So basically, some few number of about 20 people were involved in left ventricular heart failure. In fact, inhalation of these heavy metals can also have effect on the heart.
Researchers from the Oregon State University on a field trip to illegal mining sites expressed worry over the destruction done by the activity. Researcher Professor Robin Tange.
But what we fail to do is understand how can we show the value of the environment. We haven't monetized the environment. We haven't monetized our health. So when we do that, if you do that over 100 or 200 years, the environment is far more valuable than the gold will ever be.
So for Newsnight tonight, enjoy the rest of your evening.